Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
Time now to talk serious business on the Kaya business front. This is specific to railways. And for many of us, when we consider the fact that whenever it's mineral resources that are getting exported out of our country or goods and supplies that actually need to make their way across various towns, fundamental to this is the opportunity to use our railway infrastructure. We've got some good news, and it's a beautiful build up to a conversation we've had well over a year ago when we took a look at the opportunity to open up our freight railway logistics space to private sector participants. Since then, as we know, Transnet has already facilitated some opportunities for private sector players, but a key business which has been at the helm of driving this level of transformation is Traxion. Traxion has already started with a deal and, of course, investment in a rolling stock program, contributing 3.4 billion rand into this investment and actively participating in the private freight rail investment in South Africa. To tell us more, we're joined by the CEO at Traxion, Mr. James Holly, to tell us more. James, always a pleasure to have you on the show, and thank you for making time back again.
Absolute pleasure, and great to talk to you again.
Excited for this conversation, James, because I recall one of our first conversations on the show well over a year ago in early 2024. We were deep in the trenches of really trying to mobilize and lobby for government as well as other state-owned entities to really ensure that the private sector participation in the freight rail logistics is something that is prioritized. Almost 2 years later, it seems as though we've made some gains here. Add some color and context to the journey that was undertaken to get us here.
Well, you know, I think it really all kicked off in March 2022 when Cabinet approved the National Rail Policy. And that set about some really sweeping reforms for the freight rail sector in the country. And, you know, for context there, the Transnet rail freight monopoly in the country has existed for more than 100 years. Mm-hmm. So the guiding principle of that policy was to introduce a competitive rail freight environment for the country, very much like what we see at our airports, where if you go back into the distant past, SAA had a monopoly over passenger air transport in the country. And now we have tens of airlines using the government infrastructure, which is our airports. And that's something, as an economy, we all embrace. And that's the long-term vision that is currently being rolled out into the South African railways. And, you know, for us as the largest private freight operator on the continent, a South African business that runs trains in 10 countries across the continent, but has never operated even 1 kilometer of the core network in South Africa, this is, of course, a really defining moment for us. But more than that, I think it's a really exciting moment for the economy, because the competitiveness of economies stand on the back of their network industries. And railways around the world, even though we're an industry that's more than 200 years old, really stand on the back of us as an industry for their competitiveness. And with South Africa having so much of the continent's infrastructure, well north of 50% of the continent's infrastructure sits in our republic, it's a potential to be a real competitive advantage and an enabler of economic growth, which I think is tremendously exciting for the future of our economy with the implementation of this reform.
100%. Maybe let's talk about that as well as what the investment does entail. As you mentioned, you're one of the leading and largest private sector operators in South Africa. This more than 4 billion rand investment. I do understand this is for rolling stock, but for those of us who aren't necessarily familiar with the pieces of the puzzle to help ship goods across the country on our railway infrastructure, help us understand what that entails. Is that investment into locomotives only? Does it entail skills? And maybe at some point even assisting with the maintenance of the freight rail infrastructure.
So effectively what the policy does is it enables the private sector to bring trains to take up the extra capacity that exists on our railway lines. And I'll use the Johannesburg-Durban line as an example. Mm-hmm. The trains on the line are designed to run 20 minutes apart, which means that there are 72 train slots in each direction each day. So a total of 144 trains could operate on that network in total daily. Let's say Transnet used 20 of those train slots. That means that there are about 124 train slots available for the private sector to bring additional train capacity onto that Durban-Johannesburg line.
Got you.
Every time we bring a train, we pay access rights, like toll fees, just like the two of us would pay when we use the N3 toll concession.
Mm-hmm.
And that generates a new revenue stream for the government to invest into the maintenance of the tracks and to uplift the condition of the tracks. So the more trains you have on a national rail freight network, the more you can invest into maintenance and the more you can invest into modern technologies to upgrade the lines, to run the trains even closer together, to and increase the speeds and reduce the transit times. And it becomes this sort of virtuous cycle of success. And that's effectively what the government is rolling out in the country. And they've opened up this huge network we have in the country for the private sector to make applications to utilize that extra capacity. And it's significant extra capacity that exists in the network as it stands today.
Got you. Outside of the opportunities this presents to South Africa, I'm aware that you operate in many other parts of Southern Africa. Does this also open up opportunities for increased trade with our neighboring countries and peers across the continent, I guess capitalizing on the Africa Continental Free Trade Area Act?
Yes, that's something I'm really passionate about. You know, if you go back sort of 8 years ago, we were able to operate our trains in one country outside of South Africa. And now we have the ability to operate our trains in about 10 countries outside of South Africa.
Yeah.
And that's because those countries have implemented the same reforms that we are in the process of implementing in South Africa.
Gotcha.
And what that means is that for the first time, you can have trains traversing borders. A train can conceivably, because it's the same gauge, move from Cape Town all the way to Dar es Salaam in Tanzania, or from Tanzania to Lobito on the West Coast. That really enhances the opportunity for efficient freight logistics across our borders. These trains that we're investing in now are earmarked for South Africa. It's 46 locomotives and about 920 wagons. And we've got them earmarked for operations in South Africa. But into the future, the ability to run really cost-effective logistics using railways across borders is something that I'm really passionate and excited about.
Mm. And I think this is so important, right? Because for many of us as South Africans, we might see much of this railway infrastructure and maybe witness the wagons and the locomotives when we drive past various parts of our country. But because we don't necessarily interact with them on a daily basis, we tend to lack appreciation for what this does do for certain sectors of our economy. So in terms of exports, the mining sector is definitely going to benefit. Does this also entail the movement of particular imports coming in from our ports?
You know, it certainly does. You know, the mining commodities the commodities that are mined outside of South Africa that utilize our ports, that's one opportunity. But I'm really excited about the general freight opportunity that it opens up. If you think about Germany, which is an engineering and industrial powerhouse for Europe, Germany is what it is because of the efficient transport routes that enabled them to get their products cost effectively into the rest of Europe, which is their primary market.
Yeah.
Without really efficient rail and road networks, they would never have been able to achieve that. And that's effectively what we need to get to make South African industrial powerhouse that's able to supply products and goods on a really cost-effective basis into our regional trading partners. It's more cost effective to ship a container from China to Tanzania than it is to move it from South Africa to Tanzania. And that's something that we've got to change if we're going to turn South Africa into a regional industrial powerhouse that has efficient trade with the region. And these kind of policies and this kind of policy alignment is definitely and can only be a big step in the right direction.
Got you. James, I guess to close off with, we've got the policy shifts and reforms being implemented. We see the private sector mobilizing capital and, of course, enhancing their level of commitment. Let us understand, when do operations begin? 2026, I understand, is going to be a big year.
So it's one of the best parts of this program. You know, we're importing these, we're buying effectively a second-hand fleet of locomotives that are already in the Cape Gauge. The very few countries around the world operate in the Cape Gauge, and we're buying them from New Zealand. We're then doing a huge upgrade program over the locomotives. The first locomotives arrive in South Africa in May next year. And about 79% of the total project value is going to be orders placed with South African companies. With the ultimate local content at about 60%. It also means, because the first locomotive is arriving in May, that the first trains are going to enter service in the country by this time next year. If we were to place a completely new order for locomotives from one of the big international manufacturers of locomotives, the lead time from the time you pay your deposit is 24 months.
Yeah.
So what this project also means is that the first trains are going to be entering South Africa, despite the fact we've got huge local content into this program, well before any other international OEMs would be able to supply us, which for the advancement of this process of reform is really a good thing.
Got you. James, always a pleasure speaking to you, sir. There's so much more that I could discuss with you and learn, especially given the technical requirements of the fleet. I do see it's all modern and, of course, different models that have been incorporated and will be procured. But we'll certainly touch base on that as well as operations on the ground in the months to come. All the best. Congratulations. And thank you for your efforts to keep South Africa's economy booming again.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you.
James Holly, who is the CEO of Traction.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.